Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing and limit our gathering for our safety and our community safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. We have two scripture readings today. The first one is Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6 and 37 through 45. Oh, give thanks to God. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the peoples. Sing to God. Sing praises to God. Tell of all God's wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek God rejoice. Seek God and God's strength. Seek God's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works God has done, God's miracles, and the judgments God uttered. O offspring of God's servants, Abraham and Sarah, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones. Then God brought Israel out with silver and gold, and there was no one among their tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon Egypt. God spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and God brought quails and gave them food from heaven in abundance. God opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For God remembered God's holy promise, and Abraham and Sarah, God's servants. So God brought God's people out with joy, God's chosen ones with singing. God gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the wealth of the peoples, that they might keep God's statutes and observe God's laws. Praise be to God. Our second scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. And Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Today in the United Church of Christ is Just Peace Sunday. And a fun fact is that the Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle was one of the first congregations in the nation to become a Just Peace congregation. And so we celebrate that today. As part of today's message, which is focusing on just peace in this time of racial tensions and in this time of economic devastations around the globe, I wanted to read a message to you of reflections prepared by the Reverend Dr. Sheila Harvey. Because you have heard my views on these for so many weeks this year, And I'm not sure if I have anything new to say or if there's a new way for me to say it. And so I will be reading most of her observations about today's scripture reading to you. It will be accompanied by not church bells, but the bell of my daughter's kitten, Boots, who I cannot escape from as I record this. The Reverend Dr. Sheila Harvey writes, "In the narrative context, Jesus emphasizes that the kingdom of heaven operates differently from the ways of this world. As chapters 19 and 20 from Matthew have to do with the equal value that God's grace bestows upon all people. In chapter 19, a rich young man came to Jesus asking, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' When Jesus told him to sell his possessions and give them to the poor, the man went away sorrowfully because he had many possessions. Then Peter, observing this exchange between the rich young man and Jesus, shared that the disciples have already given up everything to follow Jesus and questions what their reward will be. Jesus answered by saying, 'The disciples will sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel.' But Jesus also speaks to God's invitation for all people to serve and be rewarded according to God's grace, purpose, and plan. The conflicts at play arise as Jesus turns the expectations of the 12 disciples upside down. In doing so, Jesus strips away the notion that there are those who are superior to others. Jesus strips away the notion that the privileged will be rewarded unjustly. Additionally, Jesus strips away the notion of scarcity and invites racial equity and a just economy to be generously rewarded on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus challenges the disciples to fully trust in an economy of God's grace, he points to the way of justice and peace for all people." The way of just peace. In moral distress, Jesus tells the parable of the vineyard workers to the disciples. As the story focuses on God's generosity in welcoming everyone into the field, it portrays God as the landowner, the believers as workers, and the vineyard as the kingdom of heaven. In this parable, Jesus uses a typical everyday scene to point out a spiritual truth about the value of God's beloved community and tells the good news about the economy of God's grace. Jesus' story explains that God is like a landowner who went out to find people to work in the vineyard. The first group expects to be paid the pay of a denarius, which is a fair day's wage. The second group expects to be paid what is fair. The last three groups have no expectations of their pay. The purpose of the parable is not for us to focus on the workers and what they do, but to focus on what the landowner does. Thus, the first principle in the economy of God's grace is for the workers to see the landowner as fair and just. The good news about the kingdom of heaven is that God is the sovereign ruler who owns all things, and at the same time graciously bestows grace and blessings upon all of the beloved community. The kind of justice and peace that God seeks is modeled by the psalmist who speaks on the economy of God's grace in Psalm 105, verses 17 and 18. It states, "Joseph was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass." In 105, verses 20 through 21, it goes on to state, "The king sent and released him, Joseph. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He, the king, made him ruler of all his possessions." Thus, the purpose of the parable is to teach us the economy of God's grace by first helping us to see the just character of God. Second, we see in the parable that rewards from the kingdom of heaven are not a matter of privilege or superiority. The first workers were upset with the landowner because they had worked longer and harder and felt that they deserved a superior reward than the others who came later. The first workers, who felt privileged, argue with the landowner to change the terms of their original agreement so that they could earn more than the others. But the parable is not about the hierarchy of humanity. It is about the landowner's grace for all who serve in the vineyard. Third, we see the economy of God's grace as having the sovereign right to distribute resources according to God's purposes. In verse 15, we hear, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" The landowner does not have the right to be dishonest or cheat people, but does have the right to give generously to any and everyone, which shows that we are equally loved by God. It's like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, who, instead of rejoicing in his father's generosity toward his brother, challenges his father's right to be generous and gracious. This parable is also designed to point out to us how easy it is to feel superior towards others, feel sorry for ourselves, or fail to appreciate God's grace. The fourth principle, which speaks of dismantling racial and economic privilege, is a key purpose in the economy of God's grace, because the story teaches that Jews and Gentiles will have equal status within the kingdom of God. This way of justice and peace challenges the beloved community to seek racial equity and a just economy. As the Gentiles are the 11th hour workers who in the eyes of the Jews come into the kingdom, the vineyard, in the last hour. They are treated like the stepchildren who don't deserve the full standing in the household of God. They question how God could give Gentiles who are not part of the covenant, have no religious tradition, and do not keep God's law, the same rewards or inheritance as the Jews. And in response to these questions, there is an appeal to those who feel privileged to trust in God's grace, which makes us all equal members of God's covenant, in that our standing and citizenship in the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of when we receive God's grace, but that God's grace is already upon us. The parable is not about the work of the first workers or the work of the last workers. It's about the grace and justice of God. So the last will be first, and the first will be last, which speaks to God's grand reversal at the end of the parable. In that, Jesus concludes the same way he started in verse 30 of chapter 19. Jesus had just told the parable of the rich young ruler and said, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." The parable in chapter 20 continues to illustrate this point, because the kingdom of heaven is not partial to our perceived position on earth. Since the rich ruler, as well as the 12 disciples, were amazed that the rich ruler's position did not qualify him to inherit the rewards of the kingdom, Jesus teaches us that in God's economy, things are often opposite of what we expect. Grace is not the way we normally do things, nor the way the economy of this world usually works. This is why we often do not understand it. As such, the workers charge the landowner with being unfair. But why? According to the facts presented, it was not based on their love or concern for justice or fairness. Their argument was based on their own selfish privilege, that the extra pay they wanted was pay they deserved. And yet, the parable teaches us that in the kingdom of heaven there is no such thing as merit, for God's grace is granted according to God's gracious purpose. God's grace gives us a way of justice, peace, and joy in our relationships with all people, with God, and with even the earth itself. And when we experience God's grace, it can reveal in us the attitude that we are better than others and we deserve more than others. But the economy of God's grace teaches us not to put ourselves above other people, because we all are equally loved as God's beloved community. Instead, we are taught to humbly appreciate the kindness and generosity of God's grace, which is freely given to all of humanity. That's why we all are welcome to answer yes to God's invitation to serve in the vineyard, which calls upon us to serve together by working towards creating systems of racial equity and a just economy. In that, this parable teaches us to trust in the economy of God's grace, which calls for a grand reversal from the unjust ways of the world as we know it. As this grand reversal points towards the way of justice and peace, it invites everyone to work together as a beloved community to be the economy of God's grace here on earth as it is in the kingdom of heaven. May it be so. Amen. From the members of the Nabokagon UCC and Earl, and Boots, the kitten, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider visiting us. The United Church of Christ, a just world for all.